If you haven't read through the book of Job, like Randy was talking about earlier, like read through it. We've been encouraging you. We've been sending out reading plans each week for you to be tracking along and preparing for the Sunday that we're teaching on. We didn't do that today because we didn't realize we were teaching on this till yesterday. So if you've been doing that and tracking with us, you'll want to take this down. Job 13, 19, and 23. Job 13, 19, and 23 are the chapters that we would encourage you to read in the next couple days, and it'll tie all the pieces together of what we're looking at this morning. So in 1943, during World War II, there's a Jewish psychiatrist, Viktor Frankl, and he was imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps. And he lost nearly everything, right? He lost his family, his career, he lost his freedom. Yet years later, when asked how he survived such an unbearable suffering, Frankl said that what sustained him was meaning. And then in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he explained that even when God felt absent, he continued to speak, to pray, to hope, to wrestle with God. To me, that sounds a lot like the story of Job and the life of Job. Job does not receive quick answers anywhere through the chapters that you read. He doesn't receive quick answers. He does not get like really nice, tidy, sufficient explanations. But he refuses silence. He speaks honestly. He trusts Dutch stubbornly, right? And when everything else is stripped away, he anchors himself to the one unshakable truth that his Redeemer lives. That's what he anchors himself to. So the first thing that I want us to look at this morning as we're studying from, again, 13, 19, and 23. First one that we're going to look at comes from Job chapter 13. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, it's going to be page 366. And then all the other verses that we look at are just going to be turning over a couple pages from there. So stay there and just flip through as need be. But Job chapter 13, verse 3 is what I want us to start with. And I think that the lesson that we see here from this particular passage is that Job is to say it anyway. Like, that's his attitude in life, is say it anyway. Job has faith to keep talking. Like, his faith is so deep that no matter what he's going through, instead of just being mad at God and refusing to talk to God, Job has faith that allows him to keep on talking. So in Job chapter 13, verse 3, Job says, "But I desire to speak to the Almighty and to argue my case with God." What we see in Job's story gives permission to the weary believer who feels guilty for struggling in prayer to keep on going. Job shows us that faith does not mean emotional certainty. Faith means relational honesty. That is faith with our God, when we can be relationally honest with Him. When silence lingers, too many people assume that God is really disappointed in them. But Job assumes the opposite, that God is still listening. This kind of prayer is courageous because it refuses to walk away. It says, I may not understand what God is doing. I may not understand you, God, but I will not stop addressing you. For those that are carrying grief, unanswered medical reports, for those that are in strained relationships or You've been in long seasons of depression or any other kind of deep trial or pain. The story of Job should be liberating for us. God does not require you to be perfect with your words before coming to Him. Just be honest with Him. He invites you to come as you are, trusting that, that relationship matters more than eloquence matters. Job says, I desire to speak to the Almighty and to argue my case with Him. Job teaches us that faith does not require some polished prayers. It requires persistence. Hear me on this. Job, his courage, it's not disrespect. Like to want to argue his case with God. Not disrespect. It's relationship. It's deep relationship. Silence tempts us to assume God has abandoned us. But Job assumes God is still worth addressing. The truth is that honest prayer keeps the relationship alive. Job shows us that even raw, trembling prayers are still prayers of faith. I know that some of you have been in those times where the prayers, the only prayers that you can muster up, I've been in those times, the only prayers I can muster up, right, are those trembling, raw prayers. But they're still prayers of faith. In the book, Prayer, Does It Make a Difference?, Philip Yancey writes that people often lose their faith not because they stop believing in God, but because they stop talking to Him. I think that's really true. How deep can a relationship be when we don't talk to each other? See it all the time, right? Like, who goes out for dinner and you sit down with your family or your spouse or your friends or whatever and you look at the table next to you? And what's going on? Randy, thanks for the prop. Everybody's sitting there on their phones, right? They're not talking to each other. And at least I know in my mind, I start thinking, man, like how deep are those relationships at that table? How much do they really care about each other when they decide to go out for a meal together and all they do is sit on their phones the whole time? People often lose their faith not because they stop believing in God, but because they stop talking to Him. When faith keeps talking, it slowly learns to look beyond the present pain and towards a future of incredible hope. Let me say that just a little bit differently. When faith refuses silence, it begins to lift its eyes beyond present pain, searching not just for relief, but for hope that can endure for the future. So certainly, from the book of Job, we learn that we need to be able to talk to God. We have to have a faith that keeps us talking to God. And the second lesson that we're going to look at today that we learn from the life of Job is the need to hold on to hope. The need to hold on to hope. Job, again, has faith that looks forward. He's a forward looker. In Job chapter 19, so you're just going to go forward a couple pages from where you are. Job 19, we're going to verse 25. Job 19, verse 25, Job makes this declaration. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. The hope we see in Job's life is so amazing because it does not minimize the suffering. He also doesn't say something like this is going to all make sense someday soon. Instead, he places his confidence squarely in the future encounter with God himself. Not on knowing the answers, not on getting his way, not on getting all the pain undone in his life. He places his hope in the fact that his Redeemer lives. Hope here is not optimism. It's endurance. Like for grieving people, for grieving parents, for exhausted caregivers, or those that are walking through just prolonged uncertainty, Job's confession, it really becomes a lifeline to us. A living Redeemer. You know what that means to us? That means that your story is still being written. That's a big deal. Pain may dominate the current or future chapters of your life. Like, that is reality. But it will not define the ending of your story because of the living Redeemer that we have. Faith clings not to the outcomes, but to the one who stands for us when we can no longer stand for ourselves. I love 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives. This is hope spoken from collapse, right? Like everything he knew and enjoyed in life was gone. And he speaks these words, I know that my Redeemer lives. Not words spoken from comfort. Again, I've said this a couple times throughout the series, that hope does not deny pain. What it does do is hope defies despair. Job anchors his future not in answers, but in a living Redeemer who will stand and speak on his behalf, and he's confident in that. A few weeks back, I shared this quote from Corrie ten Boom, and I share it again because it's so appropriate. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Trusting a living Redeemer requires believing God is still working even when it seems like it is unseen, even when we can't physically see what he is up to or feel that we sense what he is up to. Hope in a living Redeemer, it should sustain us now, but it also invites us to trust God's unseen work in the future. From Job's life story, we are also encouraged to trust the process. Right? Job has faith, number three, that endures the fire. Like, he's willing to trust the process because of his faith in God, his deep-rooted faith in God. In verse 10 of chapter 23, this is what Job says. And he's speaking of God here, right? He says, he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. I know that for myself. I have walked through refining seasons in life, and I know that for many of you, you have walked through refining seasons in your lives as well. Refining seasons can often be kind of a little bit confusing to us because they feel both painful, they can feel quiet, they can feel very, very lonely at times. But Job's trust rests not in understanding the process, but in knowing the refiner. When people feel unseen, when people feel unheard or forgotten, this verse reassures them that, God's attention has not wandered. That the fire that we might be walking through and might be in is not arbitrary, it is purposeful. This really is like a verse that it's a great verse for you to write down and to memorize for those seasons of life that might be challenging, difficult, painful, right? It's a reminder. He knows the way that I take. He knows what I am walking through. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. I will be faithful to him through it anyways. God, I believe, is shaping something eternal in the midst of temporary suffering so often. God's silence does not equal God's abandon. Absence, I'm sorry. His silence does not equal his absence. Refining fire is not punishment. So often his refining fire is preparation in our lives. Job trusts the outcome even when he can't trace God's steps. And refinement, it invites obedience even when clarity never comes. When we learn to trust in God's refining work, it leads us towards quiet, steady obedience. Even when clarity seems like it's way out of reach for us. I think the last lesson we're going to look at this morning from Job's life story is that it can teach us to number four, stay the course. Job has faith that keeps on obeying. Man. If you haven't, again, I say this again, if you haven't read the book of Job, do me at least this favor this week. Read first two chapters, chapters 1 and 2. And read them understanding that Job stays faithful to God. Job keeps his trust in God. Job stays the course. Job, he has that faith that just keeps on obeying. In chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, the very next two verses from where we were, it says, "My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." As we examine Job's life story, we are reminded that spiritual disciplines, right, often carry us when emotions cannot carry us. Job's obedience, it's not flashy, it's just simply faithful. If you are here today and feeling spiritually dry, or if in the future in your life you come to a season where you feel spiritually dry, continuing to read God's word, to read scripture, continuing to pray, continuing to worship can feel a little futile. Yet Job shows us that these practices anchor us beneath the surface. It's kind of like what Randy was talking about earlier in the service, right? Like Job obviously had this deep relationship with Christ. It wasn't just 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there and a Sunday morning every other week. Job treasures God's word more than the food he needs to survive on daily. Right, the last sentence of the passage we just read, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Job reminds us that faithfulness is sustained not by emotion, but by commitment. God's word becomes nourishment when comfort is scarce. Job reminds us that faith anchored in God's word steadies us to walk forward, trusting that God will complete whatever it is that he has begun in our situation, in our lives. And that can bring us incredible hope. To have that confidence that no matter what we're going through, God will walk with us and will complete what he has begun. In closing, I just want to say this morning. When God feels far, our faith needs to keep speaking. As we see in Job. When answers feel delayed, our hope needs to look ahead, to stay focused on the fact that God is still at work and the situation's not done and the end of our story is not written. When fire burns, our trust needs to believe God is refining us, preparing us perhaps for what is ahead, what's next, and how he plans to use us in his kingdom's work. Day in and day out, we need to live our lives in the hope that our Redeemer lives, as Job says. Or in its entirety, he says in verse 19 of chapter 25, that we know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. That's where our hope comes from. Our Redeemer lives and in the end, he's the one standing on the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together in this place to worship you. Thank you for the lessons from your word, for the encouragement from your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would meet us in silence. That you would strengthen us in times of waiting. And that you would anchor us in hope for the future. Knowing that our Redeemer lives. May that give us hope through whatever we face in this life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.